Welcome to this edition of the Million Dollar Mastermind Podcast. This is where we pick the brains of high achievers from all walks of life and get their hard-earned, real-world insights on winning. I'm your host, Larry Wydell.
I used to tell people, you're in a free country. You can buy the car you want, live the life you want, take the vacations you want, do whatever you want, as long as you can afford it.
That's right.
If you don't have the income, you don't have the money. It doesn't matter that you've got all this freedom because you don't have the financial resources to exercise the freedom. If you look at the people who have income, they're able to exercise the freedoms that everybody has, but they just happen to have the financial resources to go and do it. And there's a certain arrogance. You don't think of it this way. You think of yourself as, I'm just pure. I'm not money motivated. I'm interested in mankind. And then they'll come in. One thing is you're hoarding. In fact, a good friend of ours that you know very, very well said, that's hoarding. To try and, you know, accumulate a lot of hoarding. And it make you feel defensible. I got all this money. I'm hoarding it. That's not the point. The thing is not to put a priority on accumulating money is an arrogance.
It's an arrogance
that life cannot do to you because you're so good what it does to everybody else. And in the, like it says in the Bible, chance, circumstance helps us at all. Rain falls on the good and the bad. Earthquakes happen with the good and the bad people in the town. And so the deal is that when you don't take advantage of the opportunity to accumulate some protection for yourself as fast as possible, you're living with an arrogance toward the future. And the thing is, like you pointed out, we don't know the future. Bill, I went through my entire life in financial services, recruiting, training, and the insurance and the investment world. And one thing about that comes up like disability insurance. And I used to say to people, look, disability insurance, one of the reasons, get it if you want, but one of the reasons not to get it is because insurance companies are not going to pay you disability until after 6 months. And you know why? Because they know that after 6 months, you'll either be dead or you'll be back in business again and they won't have to pay for it. So don't buy disability insurance. And so what they and now I've said that my entire life, I've told people that, you know, you in 90 days, you'll be dead. And or over it. And so that's why they don't pay for 6 months. Now, on the other hand, Bill, I'm coming out of 16 stinking years of this cycling accident in the middle of Palm Beach in front of the police station where they put in a new curb. And I hit it at night because they hadn't put the lights in yet where you'd see it when it got dusk. And I hit that thing and tumbled and gained 100 pounds. I just been going on. It's my full-time job has been going to therapy for 16 years, try and find people who had answers. And even now, I'm out here in Aspen. I've been out here. If I'm not even recovered to the point where I've been on the hill yet, I've been out here for 5 days. I had two beautiful days to get out of there, and the go power just not there. I'm just not quite, the engine is not quite recovered yet. And I'm on the right track. I got positive signs that it's happening, but that costs a fortune for all this therapy. And I look back and to have a business to where I could work through the phone, through live communications, conference calls, things like that is a blessing. And that's why it's another thing is try and organize, you know, work to organize your business to where other people can run it in your absence and you can run it through them as fast as possible. That's another reason. For the, you know, to build up the net worth protection, but also to get systems in place in your business where it can be run by other people on a minute to minute, day to day basis without you actually there. Cause we don't know that we're actually going to be there. But as long as we can have an influence, we can still maintain our position at all. But it is an arrogant attitude that we don't know. We think we're being
pious,
holier than thou. Yeah, pious. That won't happen to us. I'll give it. But even the amount of money you give away, if you're giving it all away, that's great. And they say you can't outgive God. And I don't think you can. However, I think you're supposed to be a good, that doesn't mean you're supposed to live penniless, paycheck to paycheck or commission to commission, because you're not supposed to live vulnerable. The idea is in the world, when you are making big income, running a big business, you have a lot of influence. You have a lot of people counting on you. And when you make yourself vulnerable, either financially vulnerable, either business vulnerable, any vulnerability, that's on you as the leader, because you should work hard to remove those vulnerabilities so you can be, you have a cocoon, a cushion, a good cocoon, Bill, like you used in your recent book, a good cushion around you. You can be like Norm Schwarzkopf in the war on Iraq. He was in the war, but he was in a bunker a couple hundred miles away. He had very little chance of a terrorist group sneaking in and killing Norman. And that's where you need to build these protections in place. But this is one that is so easily missed, isn't it?
You're right, Larry. And a lot of it is we're brainwashed into it. And ever since we're youth, to make too much money, go to hell. And you know how many men I know, they're relying on their spouse's income? Between her income and my son's paper out, we'll be okay. You know how many people, children are forced to go borrow money to go to college because the parents don't want to accumulate money for fear it's going to be bad? There's $1.7 trillion in student loans out there that these people are not going to pay back. And the government's using it as a wedge to get votes. So we'll pay it back for you. And so somebody's got to pay those back. And that's why we want to create, and the people that listen to our call once a month, an encouraging word that it's okay to want to make money. It's okay. I look at the mind, Larry, as a garden. What are you planting in your mind? Most people are planting fear, and number one stressor that causes divorce in America is financial. That's math. That's the truth. The third largest killer of people in America today is stress from a job, where people hate their jobs. 70% of all Americans go through something called the Sunday night scaries, and they go into work, they hate it, they're crying as they're going in. But they can't, they're gonna need that paycheck. I owe, so off to work I go. And they've never had read a book on money and finance. They've never been encouraged. That's why I read every third book I read is a money encouragement book. One of my favorite ones is a book called The Wealth Choice by Dennis Kimbrough. It's a masterpiece. I just finished rereading again for like the eighth time, Think and Grow Rich. There's another one I just finished reading called Born Rich. There's one called I'm a Badass at Making Money. Another one I just finished reading is How to Become a Millionaire God's Way. These are all books encouraging people that it's okay, but you've got to plant the thought of having and accumulating money and having a net worth in your garden for it to grow. And you got to, what, tend that garden. And you got to weed that garden. And that's why most people today are living financially fruitless lives. Again, when the tide goes out, we're going to find out who's been swimming naked. Most of our country today is being run on debt, from our government to families. All these nice cars, nice houses, it's all debt. And so someone like you and I, Larry, we have zero debt. We're not living our lives based on the come that, you know, based on our ability to make money. And Larry, it's a very encouraging group of people that we associate with. And you're absolutely right. I'm scared to death for people that don't have a money consciousness because they automatically have a poverty consciousness, and that's not healthy.
We learn things by stories and examples. And you weren't able to get on to this call, but you chose your partner for this podcast because he had a similar tough background. Omar's background is he grew up in Miami, and his father was a cop. And they lived in the cop neighborhood, and they were struggling to make ends meet and just hand-to-mouth type existence. And so that creates all kind of tension and created the kind of family tension and job tension and all that. And so he grew up not getting any kind of financial input. And then when he got to college, he tells a story. When he got to college, you get in there and they find out that everybody wants to give you a credit card. So he went... He got a whole pocket full of credit cards and immediately spent all the money. It was just like free money. What's wrong with this? And got himself immediately down the hole financially. But he came out of it. And you can come, the story is you can come out of what ever hold you in, because you really don't have a choice to come out of it. But when you come out of it, the thing is, I'm going to come out of it, but I'm going to be different in the sense that step by step, I'm going to put aside, start, make that a number one priority. In fact, we had Red Wieson on this podcast here a little while ago, and she talked about that was so ingrained with her. And back when he was making $5,000 as a teacher at a private high school there in Atlanta, Georgia, before he started his financial business, that even when they were making $5,000 a year, they saved money. I said, how'd you do it? She said, we just figured it out. And we made it a game of how little money we could spend. I had a garden in the backyard. We had a decision. If there was a choice of two things to buy, we always went with the cheaper one. And had the story of her oldest daughter went out to get her some new shoes. And she said, which pair do you want? And the daughter said, I'm going to get these. She said, why'd you like those better? She said, they're cheaper. And they had that ingrained into their kid. And I remember J. Paul Getty back, he was known as a skin flint. But the thing is that he said the reason he was such a tightwad, he said, the frugal person has a much bigger margin for failure and for things to go wrong than the spendthrift. And so that's why he was always pushing on the side of frugality. So you have greater margins for success. And so I'm sure you've got a lot of those kind of examples and stories but you can't have too many of them, can you? Because the more you can reinforce this in your mind, the better.
Yeah, Larry, again, none of us come from any kind of a money background. We are all products of our environment. And again, you're right. We call them cheap. Bill, you're just cheap. Again, I'd rather, Carol and I, we'd go out to dinner. And once you understand the rule of 72 and compounding money, and after dinner comes, I pay the bill and I start looking like this. And I'm looking up to the sky. She says, stop it. I can't stand it anymore. I know what you're doing. What I was doing is, I just spent $50 on this meal. If I put that in a mutual fund, and every 6 years, that thing would double. So that's 100, that's 200. This meal just cost me $3,000 when I'm 65. I said, Bill, that's the wrong kind of, we'll see whether or not your way of thinking is correct or our way of thinking is correct. But don't ask me to pay more taxes to take care of your butt, because you were not willing to take a personal financial responsibility for your life. You're dependent on a company. You're dependent on a government. You're dependent on your wife's income. You're dependent on everything going smooth and nothing bad ever happening to you. You're dependent on you never having heart problems or cancer problems. You're dependent on your children getting student loans. They've always got a cushion there where they don't have to be responsible. One day, reality is going to hit you right between the eye, and then you're going to start realizing, I've never met anyone that said, you know what, Larry? I'm sure glad I didn't save a lot of money in the early days. I'm glad I spent it all and got into debt. I'm happy. No, we've had enough 65-year-old people, you and I both know, Larry, our business. They wish they'd put away more money. They wish they accumulated more money. They wish they put it in better places. They wish they hadn't spent money on ridiculous things. It's got to come home to roost. We're just giving you a forewarning. You know, you and I are Christians, and we talk a lot about heaven, but we don't talk about eternal damnation. And I've got a fear of eternal damnation more than I do a desire for heaven. And so that keeps me on a straight and narrow, but maybe I don't want to.
Thanks for listening to the Million Dollar Mastermind. If you felt there were any valuable takeaways from this episode, please take a minute and leave us a 5-star review. Your feedback is important and really helps us get the word out to a wider audience.